God is really good. You know, even though we go through hard times, and I know that, you know, like God was showing me today, Jesus went through hard times. But he just still kept teaching the people, and he just go away to the mountains, and we don't know what he said to the Father. He could have went up there and lay down and cried for all we know. But he was always going away to the Father to be refreshed. So we don't say we don't have problems, because we do have problems in this world. But we do have someone who can lift us up and encourage us and strengthen us to go on another day. And this is what we have to hold on to, the fact that we do have a Father that really does care for us. Every one of those songs were just perfect songs for tonight. It was all about how we feel about our walk with God and encouraging ourselves in our walk with God. And right now, I really believe that the body of Christ needs that more than ever. We really need to have songs, sing songs to encourage ourselves and remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, and to remind us that God is more than enough. There's just something not right in the atmosphere. Does anybody else feel that today? You know, we're singing rejoicing songs, I told Brother Chris, he was up working on my computer this afternoon, I said, just something amiss or just something not quite right. And I've been trying to, you know, put my finger on it, but so far God hasn't revealed it. Does anybody else feel that? There's just something going on, and we just have to be on alert and just be constantly listening for God's voice so he can tell us what is happening. Amen. So I just don't want you to think that, you know, that you're not going to have problems, because you will. And I don't want you to think that you can't go to the Father and cry to him, you know, and tell him where you're at and how you feel, and just let him lift you up and encourage you. That's what he said. He wants us to talk to him, right? Then we need to talk to him, and we need to just let him know. He already does know, but I really have a strong conviction, if you'll just start speaking out what's in your heart, you set yourself free. It doesn't give the enemy any tools to work with if you're suppressing things, you know, and hiding things. But if you talk about it to the Father, or if you have a really close friend, just get it out in the open and let the devil see that you don't have any closet anymore, that you're not going to have him have you walk in fear, that if somebody sees that you're human, they won't think anything of you anymore. Right? And how many people are afraid to do that? They're afraid that if people really see you as you are, they won't like you anymore. You know, they put you on a pedestal someplace and think, oh, well, they're godly and they don't have problems. We all have problems. As you read your word, everybody had problems. And Jesus was rejected all over the place, wasn't he? You know, nobody wanted to accept him as the Messiah. So I just wanted to encourage you tonight and let you know that you're all right. You're okay. And it's okay to cry, and it's okay to go to the Father and or even a close friend and just say, you know, I just really need somebody to talk to today. And just let it out there. Well, Father, I truly do thank you right now, and I give you all honor and all glory for whatever you're going to do here tonight. I thank you, Father, for encouraging your children this evening with your songs of worship and praise and great rejoicing. I thank you, Father, that you are in total and complete control, and you know exactly what is going on every second of every day. And I'm asking right now, Father God, that you give us ears to hear, because you taught us, do you have ears to hear? Give us ears to hear your still small voice of direction, Father God. And Father God, let us know that we know that we know that you are in control of all things, and you are with us, and you're not against us. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's so much violence in the world. And the only safe place really is being in the arms of Jesus. Because you never know what's going to happen to you from one second to the next. You know, to the world, what's going on. So, and I just really feel like something is going to happen. I feel like there's an underlying thing there, and that we really need to be prepared for whatever it is that's going to come upon this land, because we're going to have to give other people hope. And, you know, you have to be crucified and buried with Christ so you can give other people hope. All right, stop acting like you're a victim. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19. Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all, and in fact, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth, the things we can see and the things we can't, the spirit world with its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities. All were made by Christ for his own use and glory. He was before all else began, and it is his power that holds everything together. He is the head of the body made up of his people, that is his church, which he began, and he is the leader of all those who arise from the dead, so that he is first in everything, for God wanted all of himself to be in his Son. Jesus existed along with God. The Holy Spirit existed along with God when they created this earth. You know, God told me years ago that first of all, it was God. You know, in the Old Testament, was God. Then the New Testament introduced the Holy Jesus. Then after Jesus left, then we had the Holy Spirit. And now God said, we've come full circle around, and now it's God again. And now God has taken over, and he's going to change this world and make them see that he is God. And this is why you're seeing things happen where they are, because God has once again taken control. We had Jesus, and, you know, we trampled over him. We had the Holy Spirit, and we trampled over the Holy Spirit. So God said, okay, now I'm going to come back on the scene, and I'm going to show you who God truly is. All right? Colossians 2:15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him. And we're talking about Jesus did this on the cross, right? All right, spiritual forces against you. We can count on the fact that there are unseen evil forces that have been assigned to kill, steal, and destroy everything good in our lives. The Bible clearly teaches that these devilish forces band together to commit acts of aggression against the saints, and that includes you and me. The more you think about the demonic realm, and the more you concentrate on how evil he really is, you come to grips with the fact that there is a real devil, and there are real demons, and there is a real God who works for us. And whenever you watch what the devil does, he doesn't care. It's no holds barred with him. He doesn't care how he fights. He's a dirty fighter. And we have to understand that he's coming after you and me. Why? Because we're serving God. We have not given in to his wiles. And God's going to use us to tear down his kingdom. And therefore, he has to take us out before we get to the place where we can believe that we have all power and all authority. A lot of us in here tonight, we already know that we have all power and all authority, and we are fighting him with everything that God has given us to fight him, and we are winning the battle. We really are. We are winning the battle. The Bible clearly teaches us that these devilish forces band together to commit acts of aggression against the saints, and that includes you and me. This truth is quite evident in Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything to take your stand. And having prepared everything to take your stand. And how many times has God said to us, when you've done all, stand. And sometimes you think, what am I standing on? My knees are trying to give out from underneath me. But God always tells me, daughter, stand. Just stand still And then he'll say, watch the salvation of the Lord at work on your behalf. In other words, I've done all I can do. I've used every weapon of warfare, and the enemy's still coming at me super strong. And now God said, okay, you've done your part. Now just stand and watch what I'm going to do for you. So you're going to have to do your part in this battle. You just can't sit there and play like you're dead. You're going to have to fight the enemy at every turn. All right? The Bible tells us we're in a battle. It's a good fight of faith. And we have to have faith and believe that God is with us and not against us. And he's there at every turn. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows exactly how things are going to turn out. And I just feel like right now, the body of Christ has been hammered so hard. And there's never been any hope, and never the truth hasn't really been preached to the people. They have not been taught that they are going to have to fight a devil, and therefore they're just given up. When I come to church, there's a couple little churches that are, you know, used to be open, they're closed. You know, the battle came and they closed. They could not stand the battle. And the battle is hard. The battle is hard, and we're not going to tell people the battle isn't hard, because it is. And we do get wounded. We do get wounded. And so if you're walking around or saying, well, I don't get a scratch, well, you're lying. Because you do, the enemy fights super hard. Okay? God's just trying to reinforce in you tonight that even though you're in this battle, you've already won the battle. And he's with you. All right. Paul wrote many verses about spiritual weapons, spiritual armor, and how we are to resist these unseen demonic forces. Yet it is very important that we approach this subject with the right attitude. Because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, the forces of hell are already defeated. How many times a day do you have to tell yourself that? Devil, you're already defeated. Get under my feet. You're under my feet. Stay there. All right? So because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, the forces of hell are already defeated. However, even though they have been legally stripped of their authority and power, they continue to roam around this earth carrying out evil deeds. And I'm just hearing God saying the devil knows your weak spots, and he's going to work on your weak spots. And if you're going to have to make those weak spots, strong spots, that he won't be able to ever touch again. All right, so what we have to do is we know our weaknesses, and we're just going to have to continue to give that to God until we don't have those weaknesses anymore. And just like criminals who refuse to submit to the law, these evil spirits will continue to operate in this world until some believer uses his God-given authority to enforce their defeat. Just like criminals who refuse to submit to the law, these evil spirits will continue to operate in this world until some believer uses his God-given authority to enforce their defeat. And the only ones the principalities should be, I'm sorry, the only ones the principalities should be in is the unsaved world. They should not be in you and I. And how many of you can be honest and say the devil tries to get in you every day? He tries to get in you some way, shape, or form every day. And you have to resist and resist and resist. And if you have to scream at him because he's deaf, you know, you just keep resisting until he realizes, hey, you know, that person is not going to let me get into them in any way, shape, or form. And if you're like me, there's times you have to go into a closet, you know, in your bedroom, and just shut the door and just tell that devil what he's not going to do to you. And you don't say it quietly, but you start shouting. And let him hear what you have to say. All right? We need to get hold of this truth that the principality should be only in the unsaved ones. We need to get a hold of this truth. These demonic forces are legally stripped of their authority and are defeated. You have to get that in your spirit. We are not puny, struggling believers who are somehow trying to learn how to cope with the devil's attacks against us. We are not merely trying to learn how to scrape by or survive. Jesus' death and resurrection gave us a legal authority to keep Satan under our feet. So we must always make sure we approach spiritual warfare as victors and not victims. And you see, since I've been in the church so long, I know so a lot of you are like me. You know what it was to go to church and be happy and not have all the heaviness hanging over your head and just, you know, have a good time at church and go home and really be happy all week long. But that's changed, hasn't it? That is not the way things are anymore. It's a struggle every day, and God told us this was coming, and he told us to get ourselves prepared. I don't believe that the body of Christ as a whole prepared herself enough to be able to be able to endure what the enemy is throwing at us right now. Sometimes I watch some of you as God gives you a prophetic word, and sometimes your face just changes in all different ways, you know, as he says different things, because sometimes you can't quite believe what he's saying, and other times you're trying not to cry because what he's saying is the truth, and you're just trying to just get everything in there so that you can listen to it again and again and again and allow God's word to sink deep into your spirit, man, and so it will lift you up. And if you really listen to what God, and especially today when God was speaking, he was giving us direction, wasn't he? And what you needed to do was to really listen to that tape over and over again until that's deep in your spirit. So when the enemy comes to try to strip you of what God told you, you're going to say, no, you're not taking it. God said it, and I believe it, and it's going to happen. Remember, Colossians 2:15 tells us, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him. Paul tells us that Jesus made a shoe of them openly. The word openly is used throughout the books of the New Testament to denote boldness or confidence. And see, this is where the body of Christ, they lack boldness and confidence. You know, not everybody, but the body of Christ is the majority lack boldness and confidence. And you know, that always amazes me, because I know when you was in the world, you were really bold because of some of the things you did. But yet when you come to Christ, and I was the same way, I thought I had to be a meek little thing that never, you know, never raised her voice or anything, you know. But that's not true. We need to be more bold whenever we become a child of God than what we were before we became a child of God. Because before you became a child of God, the devil didn't care about you. You weren't going to cause him any trouble. He was going to take you to hell, and he knew it. But then once you became a child of God, then he had to start coming after you, because you were going to come after him. And the more bold you are, and that's why Barbara gets fought, and this is what God's telling me, she gets fought so much, because she's always been a bold person, because she always felt like she had to protect herself. And the devil knows how bold she is, and he's scared of her. I think I told you a story about one time when we still had a church in the house. There was a guy came there, and his girlfriend invited us up. They told me they were married, but I found out they weren't. But invited us to their house up in Smyrna, and I went up there, and I was standing at the door, and I said to Teresa, "You knock on the door." She said, "I knew you knock on the door." We were both afraid of this guy. Okay, he was a big guy. And here I found out later on, but finally we went in and got him, we did a deliverance on him. But finally, then later on, I found out he was standing on the other side of the door, afraid to open the door because he's afraid of us. So see, that always taught me that the devil's more afraid of me than I am of him. And I shouldn't be afraid of him, because the devil's afraid of us. Because he said there's something in him told him that if he let me in that door, he was finished. And that was that devil, right? The devil did not want us coming, but it tickled me. Later on, we thought about it. It was just new in the Lord. You know, we stand out there, you knock. No, you knock. No, no, you knock. No, well, let's just go. Maybe they're not home. You know, but finally we knocked. No, finally he opened the door. That's what happened. But anyhow, so how many of you do that too sometimes? Don't ever be afraid of the devil, because he's more afraid of you than you'd ever be afraid of him. Okay. You must know this, that our victory is no quiet affair. Jesus took the enemy apart piece by piece as he thoroughly spoiled principalities and powers. Do you ever realize that's why the devil hates you? Because Jesus thoroughly disgraced him. And Satan hates every one of God's children. So he can't do anything to Jesus. So he's going to try to come after his children. You ought to be excited that he comes after you. Do you ride down the road on your motorcycle screaming at the devil? Yeah, because God just told me you do that. He just told me that's what you do. That's why I thought I'd ask you. See, he has the roar of his engine or whatever you call them things, you know, and he can shout and carry on, and nobody hears except the devil, right? All right, by using the word...
Theresia.
Thank you. Paul declares that when Jesus was finishing his dealings with Satan, his victory over the devil was no quiet affair. I knew she was going to do that. I said, God, I can't pronounce that word. And I said, she'll do it for me. All right. That when Jesus was finishing his dealings with Satan, his victory over the devil was no quiet affair. Quite the contrary. Jesus boldly, confidently, and loudly exposed and displayed this non-defunct foe to heaven's host. Make no mistake, when Jesus made a shoe of them openly, it was quite a spectacular show of power. And I want to tell you something. If we would be bold when we have these services, we would confront the enemy. I'll say, well, you know, there's a spirit in that person. We need to get it out. And see, what I need to start being bold and just look at that person and tell that spirit to come out of them right then and there, not tell you all to set them up for a deliverance. Right? And we should have such, then I should have such boldness backing me up that devil has to, he probably break the door as he goes out and trying to get away from us all. Do you understand this? And we see some of you up here are starting to manifest the devil, and we quietly go up and say, don't raise too much ruckus here. We got other people in here who might upset them. I don't care how upset the other people get. You know, if we see a devil manifest, we should never allow him to manifest in the house of God. We shouldn't shush him. We should make him leave. Are you understanding this? All right. Where am I at? Colossians 2:15. Okay. The verse, Colossians 2:15, the verse continues, he made a shoe of them openly triumphing over them in it. And the word triumph was used to describe the emperor's triumphal parade when he returned home. And so Joshua 8, verse 1 and 2 says, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. Take the whole military force with you and go attack Ai. Look, I have handed over to you the king of Ai, his people, city, and land. See, he hadn't even gone out to war yet, and God told him what was going to happen. Treat Ai and his king as you did Jericho and its king. You may plunder its spoil and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. Then Joshua 8:23 says, but they captured the king of Ai alive and brought him to Joshua. Then Joshua 10:22 through 25 says, then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings to me out of there. That is what they did. They brought the five kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, and Elgon to Joshua out of the cave. When they had brought the kings to Joshua, Joshua summoned all the men of Israel and said to the military commanders who had accompanied him, come here, put your feet on the necks of these kings. So the commanders came forward and put their feet on their necks. Joshua said to them, do not be afraid or discouraged. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord will do this to all the enemies you fight. See, whenever you defeat an enemy, then God says to you, now every enemy from this point on that you fight, you will defeat them in the same way. When a returning emperor or general came striding through the gates on his big, powerful, and beautiful horse, he was accompanied by his fellow victorious warriors, who also appeared glorious after their triumph battle. As the parade followed, the weaponry and treasuries seized from the enemy's territory were grandly displayed for all to see. The grand finale to this triumphal procession was their foreign ruler himself. This ruler had been beaten and bound in chains and was now being forced to walk in disgrace, shame, dishonor, embarrassment, and humiliation. As crowds of people came to celebrate his defeat and to get a peek at a once powerful but now totally defeated opponent. We should bind that devil up and let the whole area of hell see that we are going to defeat every spirit that's in there. Instead of us walking around you know, with long faces and afraid of the devil and afraid, you know, whenever you do deliverance, and some people are afraid to really address the devil that's in there because they don't want to hurt the person. Get out of here. The person should already know you're not addressing them. You're addressing what's inside of them, and they came because they want that thing out of them. And it doesn't matter what you have to do to get it out of them, you do it. And boldness is the biggest thing that you need when you are a deliverance minister of any type. You need to be bold and have authority over those things. They know when you are not bold. They know when you don't have authority, and they know they don't have to budge. They know when you're in sin, and when you're in sin, you can't get a person set free. Because there's always a bigger devil that you have to fight. And the devils are not stronger than that big one you're trying to get out of somebody. Are you listening here? So when Colossians 2:15 declares that Jesus triumphed over evil powers, it is declaring that Jesus took the enemy apart piece by piece as he thoroughly spoiled principalities and powers. When you're doing deliverance on somebody, isn't that what you do? You take the enemy apart piece by piece, don't you? You get the fragments and whatever else you deal with. You take them apart piece by piece, and you get the king out of there. Doorkeeper, whatever you call it. When Jesus was finished with those demonic forces, they were utterly plundered, stripped to bare nakedness, and left with nothing in hand to retaliate. The body of Christ is not bold enough. You're just flat not bold enough. All right, when you go out there in the street, are you bold to talk to the people? You know, or do you go with a little bit of hesitation? Well, I don't know if they're going to receive me or not. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not putting anybody down because I just told you I was there at one time. So whenever you go out there, if you're going to go out there and witness, you have to go out there with boldness. But you have to go with the Holy Spirit. That's the number one thing. And then the Holy Spirit in you will have boldness. Then you bring that boldness forth, and then you start ministering to people. And sometimes I'm just hearing God say, sometimes the enemy plays games with you too. And he makes you look like the fool. And he's not coming out. He's just sending all kind of little imps out ahead of him. And he's staying in there laughing at you because you can't get to him because you're not bold enough. That's what I like about watching Bob Larson. He's bold. He doesn't care. He's not working with that person. He's working with those devil that's in that person. Right? When Jesus was finished with those demonic forces, they were utterly plundered, stripped of bare nakedness, and left with nothing in hand to retaliate. Then Colossians 2:15 conveys this idea. Jesus gallantly strode into heaven to, number one, celebrate his victory, and two, the defeat of Satan and his forces. How many of you have a victory to celebrate? You know what I'm saying? Do you fight those devils that are even in you or are trying to get in you? And if you do and you win, then you have a victory to celebrate, right? And I'm not saying if you win, you should be winning every time. And then you always have a victory to celebrate. We are not puny little people. We are not. We are bold. We are aggressive. We're strong. And we can do the works that God wants us to do. I used to always be real quiet and meek. Believe it or not, I really was. Then all of a sudden, I just started getting real bold, you know, and bossy and everything else. I said, God, I don't like this. And he said, in this season that you're in, you need to be bold. You need to have that power of authority in your boldness. And he said to me, I'll give you a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint to go forth and defeat the enemy. And now we see how strong the enemy really is, don't we? We see what he's doing, you know, through the Democratic Party even. We see what he's doing through the rioters. And God said in the last days, lawlessness would abound. We have lawlessness right now. And God told me years ago when he was sharing all that stuff with me that there would be a war between the blacks and the whites. And he said the National Guard would be called out. And, you know, this is what's happening right now, 15 years later. And God has been trying to get us prepared for this battle that we're in. And we're not battling one another. And if you go to town at all anymore, you find out that people think they're battling you and they're rude and everything else. And we're not battling each other. It's the principalities and powers of darkness that we're battling. And how do we battle that way? Just like Jesus said, you go to the mountain and pray. Right? We don't run the person down, but we go to the mountain and pray. And I'm hearing God say the reason why there's sickness on all sides is because we don't have the boldness to tell those spirits of infirmity to leave our bodies. Think about that. I've told him to leave, but are you persistent? Or after you tell him to leave, you say, oh, well, when God feels like healing me, he'll heal me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm fighting the same battle you're fighting, but we have to do something different because what we're doing is not working. Have you noticed that? What we're doing is not working, and I just know that we just have to be, what God say, endurance, and we have to be consistent, and we have to become more bold when we face the enemy. I'm facing the enemy right now that in ways I never thought I ever would, you know, that's in other people. And I never thought I'd ever do that, but I am. And you know what? I feel good about it because the enemy knows that he has to listen to me and he's no longer going to pull his ugly tactics on me. Do you understand this? And I'm hearing God say that the enemy now is warring with your families, with your children, and you have to be bold to make him leave your family and your children alone. You can't be hurt saying, oh, look what they're doing to hurt my feelings. You can't do that because it's not them. The enemy's working in them to try to destroy you and take your boldness away from you. And you don't have to go to your children or whoever that the enemy's using. Just get in your prayer closet and tell that enemy what he's not going to do anymore with your family. And God told us that he was after our families, didn't he? You know, and God told me the other day, he said, your family, your house is in dire danger right now. You have to pray like you've never prayed before. So I'm not going to run and hide my head under a pillow somewhere. I have to continually pray and come against whatever this danger is that's lurking over my home or maybe even in my home. Are you understanding this? As part of his triumphal process, he flaunted the spoils seized from the hand of the enemy. Yet the greatest spectacle of all occurred when the enemy himself was openly put on display as bound, disgraced, disabled, defeated, humiliated, and stripped bare. What do you think they're trying to do to our President Donald J. Trump? They're trying to strip him, aren't they? You and the devils are. But it's not working because he's bold. That's why he's our president. He's bold and he's aggressive and he's not going to take no junk from nobody. And so the enemy's just working overtime trying to wear him out. And God even told me, you know, a couple of years ago, we need to pray for their family, his family, more than ever because the enemy was really going to try to work through his family too. And if he does that to the president, then what's he doing with you? What is he doing with you? He's trying to destroy you too. Trying to come against you at every turn. And what God is saying right now, what he's doing here now, he's trying to get you to understand that you have boldness that you're not using. He's made you lions that can roar louder than the enemy can shout. And he's doing a great and a powerful work within you that you don't even realize he's doing. And you can defeat the enemy at every turn. And he's saying you have to take life as it comes and not let life pull you down, but let life build you up. Because life has to happen. It just has to happen. And, you know, God never promised us that we'd be happy, happy, happy. You know, we have the joy of the Lord in us, but he never said nothing would ever touch us. He didn't say that. He told me, he said, the devil's going to do everything to you but kill you. And he does, and he has. And he said, but he can't kill you, so just keep rejoicing. Paul, you know, he had the thorn in the flesh. It was somebody that was harassing him. And God told him, he says, my grace is sufficient. You just be about my business. And all of a sudden, one day, Paul looked, and that thorn in the flesh was gone. And see, we concentrate too much on the thorn, don't we? And we don't give it to God. We concentrate, whatever, you know, could be anything. We concentrate in that thing and get our eyes off of God. And God wants us to put our eyes back on him again. And, you know, it really bothers me is in the house of God, you sit in the house of God and you hear the word of God and God prophesies to you and you know, and tells you all wonderful things, yet you still won't serve him. You know, doesn't that make you shake your head and wonder what's going on in people's minds? But this, when I was sitting there doing praise and worship, one person in particular, God said, if they don't soon straighten out, they're not going to be no more. He's just going to walk away from them. You people have to understand, you cannot keep playing the games you're playing. God has been too good to you. Whether you believe or not, he's been really good and gracious to you. And the enemy could have snuffed you out a long time ago. I don't mean dead, I mean just take you out of God's arms a long time ago, but because of God, God's been holding you, and God says, it's time you start walking on your own two feet, because he has others he has to hold. Jesus' victory over Satan was a momentous affair. When Jesus returned, he was totally triumphant. The party heaven threw that day must have been enormous. All of heaven's hosts came to celebrate Jesus' victory in Satan's downfall and demise. Right there in front of everyone, Jesus displayed the devil and his cohorts. You know that? Do you know what that must have been like? Because he had already thrown out of heaven once. You know, and now then Jesus defeats him the second time. I mean, you know, that has to be total disgrace, right? I don't see how he even held his head up. I don't see how he even has his kingdom in hell. You know, after being defeated twice by the Godhead. So I said right there in front of everyone, Jesus displayed the devil and his cohorts. Why? So all could know that this enemy no longer had the legitimate right or the necessary arms to prolong his rule of terrorism. He has no right to rule over us the way he does, guys. You are a victor. Once again, Satan is not a force we are trying to defeat. He is already defeated. And we see this is our problem. We are trying to defeat him. And he's already defeated, all right? But because very few believers know how to effectively use our God-given authority to resist Satan, he tries to continue illegally operating and doing damage to the souls of men and even to the creation itself. No matter what demonic strategy may come against you this day or how many demons are assembled together for your destruction, you never have to go down defeated. And I really don't think anybody should die sick. I really don't. I think we need to get all the infirmities out of us, and you know, Jesus should just take us like he did Enoch, right? Somebody told me the other day, well, the man went to bed and he just died in his sleep. I said, that's wonderful. You know, he wasn't sick, but he had a heart attack in his sleep. So he didn't go really sickly. He just laid down and went to sleep. He had the heart attack, yes, but he wasn't fighting sickness, you know, for years. Where am I at here? Jesus plundered the enemy when he rose from the dead. I think tonight we need to rise from the dead. I think we've been dead and defeated long enough. And I think we need to rise from the dead, and I think we need to go forth from this night forth, and we need to plunder hell like we've never plundered it before. Right? All right, so somebody's going to die in your family. Well, everybody dies. God has an appointed time. God even told me when this COVID hit, he said, the only ones that are going to die are the ones that's their appointed time to die. That's what he told me. So everybody that died, they were going to die anyhow at that time. He says, so don't get all excited about this. And what do people do? They get all excited about this. Oh, well, COVID took them out. No, it was their time anyhow. You know, how many people have you read where they had COVID and they said they defeated it? It wasn't their time. He said, nobody ever leaves this earth until their appointed time. And if we're in a car, oh, I might have an accident. You know, if you do, it's your appointed time. So quit worrying about it. Just go ahead and live life and live it to its fullest. Live victoriously. So when you look into the mirror, you need to learn to see yourself as one who has already has the victory. You already possess the authority necessary to keep Satan under your feet where he belongs. Now, how many of you know that he's going to try to make you believe otherwise? He's going to come at you in some way to make you believe that isn't true. But it is a truth. And the reason why you walk around in sin is because you don't believe the truth. You believe the lie. You don't believe that Satan's been defeated. And you keep giving in to him over and over and over again. Like I was, you know, whenever I was ministering to my grandsons, today I was praying it this afternoon, and God said, why didn't you just break the generational curse sitting right there at that table? And, you know, I said, I didn't think about it. He said, that's right, you didn't. You need to start thinking about these things. You know, because, you know, the one person said, I don't want to. Well, God said, you'll never be a wine bibber, and he broke down crying. And that was a fear of his, that he would become an alcoholic too, like the others in the family had. And see, God said to me, why didn't you just break the generational curse while you're sitting there? We could have done that. I could have done that. But see how we just do? We have to be more alert to what's going on in the spirit. I did think about it one time, but I just dismissed it and went on. We need to quit dismissing things, and we need to go ahead and do what we know in our spirit that we should be doing. Right? Revelation 1:17-18 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. So remember, guys, you are no longer a victim. You are a victor because Jesus is alive. And you know, the worst thing Satan could have done was kill Jesus on that cross. The cross had to happen. There was no way that you could go past the cross. The cross had to happen so you and I could one day sit in heavenly places. Jesus paid the ultimate price. He wasn't afraid of death, but I know he, and when he sweated great drops of blood, I know he really didn't want to go through that, because he knew what he was going to go through, but he went through it anyhow for you and I. And here we, you know, he went through a lot, and here we sat letting the enemy just dance all over our heads. We act like Jesus did absolutely nothing. Do you understand that? And the enemy takes advantage of that, and he comes and he tries to plunder your goods over and over and over again. Tonight, some of you need to start thinking differently, God is saying. You need to get encouraged in his word, and you need to walk in boldness and newness of life. I was watching somebody today as I was at my house as I was leaving, and the woman was really being bossy to the man. And I thought, why do you do that? You know, this man is so good to you. Why are you treating him like this? And God said, that's the devil in them. Trying to destroy. And as I was coming, and you went on, come on down to work, I got to thinking about, I mean, I always call this work when I come to church, but I got to thinking about that. And that person, God told me one time, that person is born to destroy men. So when that person was born, there was a devil in them already to destroy men. And I just thought about all over all the years how many men this person has destroyed. They were perfectly good men when they met this, but then she destroyed them. Don't let that be you. Don't let there be a spirit in you that destroys people. If you know that that's in there, you need to get it out. And if that thing tries to work in you, just tell him, devil, you're not working through me. You're not going to destroy another child of God. And you have to let him know you mean it. How many of you have a family members that you sometimes you sit up half a night praying for those family members because God shows you there's danger and he tells you you have to pray? I was reading an article where this one man, he stayed up, I forgot how many hours. Oh, it was a woman. She started praying at night, and God showed her what she had to pray for. And she prayed all night long and into the next day until finally she felt the release. And she didn't quit praying. She prayed for hours and hours. And she didn't quit praying until she felt the release. Now, how many of us, God said, you need to pray. We pray for 5 minutes, say, I'm done. You know, and then you go to sleep or whatever you're going to do. And see, this is where we lose our boldness too. We don't stay in the prayer closet long enough. We don't stay until we feel the release. All right? Tonight, the entire body of Christ has got to stop acting like we are the victim And we have to start acting like we are the victors. And we have to start letting the devil know that we are the victorious ones. We need to quit fighting one another, right? This is ridiculous. Churches fighting other churches, and husbands fighting wives, wives fighting husbands, kids fighting parents, and parents fighting kids. It's ridiculous. This is all the enemy trying to destroy God's kingdom. And if we would get that down in our spirit, we would be bold. And we would say, no, you're not using me as one of your tools, devil. I came from heaven. I didn't come from hell. I came from heaven to do heavenly things for the Father. And then do them. And God said he wants you guys to start being straightforward with yourself and with others. And you need to start telling people, this is really not of God. And we can't tolerate this anymore. And you have to do it in love, but with boldness. And God said, he'll give you the strategy if you have to do this, confronting people. He'll give you the strategy. He'll tell you exactly how to do it and what to say. And so you yourself won't be involved. You'll just be the vessel that God speaks through. So tonight, if you want to become more bold, and if you want God to be the one who leads, guides, and directs your mind, your will, and your emotions, then if you come forward, we're going to have an altar call tonight. We didn't this morning because God said no altar call. But tonight he wants to do a different work within you, because with what's coming, this is what he's saying, with what's coming down the road, if you're not bold, you'll be taken out. And if you're not aggressive, you'll be taken out. And if you're not consistent, you'll be taken out. So we have to have all those ingredients placed in us tonight so that we are not taken out. You know, we have the sign out there that says House of Refuge. And God said he really is going to use his church as a house of refuge. And what he's trying to do with you people that's going to be helping minister to the people, he's trying to get you to be so totally like Jesus that the enemy won't be afraid to come anywhere near you. So that means when an unsafe person walks through that door, the enemy in him or her is going to stay outside the door, because they're not going to want to face so many Jesuses in the house of God. The altar's open.